a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback and former University of Utah quarterback. Oh, we just got in the studio just in time to watch Bryce Harper at bat against the Atlanta Braves. This is the time of year that Scott starts paying attention to baseball. Or do you ever pay attention to baseball?
Not quite yet.
Football still
give it
takes,
a little bit more time.
It's got to be October. Then you can really catch
I like baseball.
Scott's attention on
baseball
that
been very, very good to me.
All right, we got to start the show off here. We got a lot to talk about. It's the middle of the week, and even when there's a big couple of games over the weekend, all the local teams have important games this weekend. Does not matter, Scott, because on Wednesday we feel like we're in this weird island, this desolation where we don't have a game in front of us. It was too far away.
You get spoiled during the season, and you're just like, when we're in the off season, we don't have this feeling.
USC.
But we're just like, when is the game happening?
BYU beating USC in overtime was a lifetime ago. And right. If I started talking about it and breaking that game down right now, no one would care.
It's almost like it didn't even happen.
Right.
It was a dream.
Scott, well, no, don't take it that far, buddy. Scott's like, you know what I definitely already forgot? Idaho State. Boy, did I forget the Idaho State Bengals.
I forgot Idaho State at halftime.
All right, we're kicking off the show here. We got a lot to talk about. We always kick the show off with the 705 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Please start sending us your text message ideas on this subject, and it is about how BYU wins versus the University of Washington this weekend and how BYU loses against the University of Washington this weekend. It's about getting to know who your enemy is there. Are you eating food off your shirt over there, Scott Mitchell?
I save it for a later time. Don't you ever do that? Don't you spill stuff on your shirt so you can have it later? That's a veteran.
Was that a full nacho that was on there?
It was kind of good, actually.
Oh, my goodness. This show, I don't know where we've gone here. Scott, we used to be so serious. We've never been so serious.
We've gone all to right. A galaxy far, far away.
So you can start weighing in on how BYU wins this game against Washington.
I know how BYU wins.
Scott will have some ideas now about how they lose against the University of Washington, the things that will happen.
I actually know that, too.
The University of Washington to be able to defeat BYU. They're wearing their all whites, and so or the white tops and the white helmets and the royal pants. And so let's see how they're going to do it. But
Washington doesn't have a chance now.
I'm telling you, the fans are going to be wearing all white to the stadium. And with the new gear on, if they don't get wins in the white gear and the white helmet, people are going to be upset about it. Here's Kalani Sitake talking about, and this is very, very, this is from his show last night, of course, right here on the airwaves. It's the BYU football with head coach Kalani Sitake. Him talking about, it's a pretty easy one to talk about how you're going to beat the Huskies, and here's what he said.
We have a good chance at having success if we're able to take care of the football, but then on the other side of things, having the defense create some havoc and be able to get some turnovers, and I thought, it was a great defensive game plan. not trying to give away our game plans ahead of time, but I have a lot of faith in our coaches, and our good players move. Have a lot of faith in each other and executing, practicing. And what I saw in practice today, I'm really looking forward to this game against Washington as a, you know, the response to what we've already done in the season so far.
Here's what makes me nervous.
What?
When a coach says, we can't turn the ball over and we got to get some turnovers, because what that says to me is I don't think straight up we can beat them. Like, the only way we're going to beat them is if we get turnovers.
Well, that is straight up, though, right? I mean, like, honestly, no, that's like, of course, like, that's part of the game.
Right. So why
you not turning the ball over?
Why even bring up the issue of turnovers? That's
because
my whole
that's
point.
A filler. He told Greg Wrubell that last night.
It's a filler.
And then he said, and I'm not going to tell you what the rest of the rest of the game plan is.
I'm not telling you what we're doing. I'm just telling you
the most basic thing that you can tell them.
Well, can I tell people what they really need to know?
Okay, let's hear it.
Like, because I have
nothing, I've got my pen out.
I have nothing invested in this.
I've got my pen out.
And you're going to laugh at this, but this is serious. This is really serious.
It's not. I already know. Because there's a mathematical thing here. The more you point at me and the harder you point at me, the more I know that you're making this up. No. This is one of your weird superstition things.
I don't want to make light of this because I really believe this. Lisa Wilson needs to pray more. Okay? I'm just telling you. Look what happened in the Tennessee game, because they were down like on the 10-yard line. There was no shot of winning that game. No shot of winning.
And then what happened?
Flashed to the sideline.
A special prayer was thrown up from a one woman who had the faith in the crowd.
If there's just anyone who has
Listen, I will tell you. So I was down.
Did you have your eyes closed? Were you praying, Alex? No, you weren't.
I was in the press box. You have to be very neutral.
But look what happened.
Okay,
like immediately after that happened, like the guy totally blew the coverage and here Micah Syme was wide open. Let me just tell you, Zach Wilson wasn't lighting it up that point. He didn't look very good.
Listen,
to
hold
that
on.
Point, all of a sudden, things changed. And it wasn't just in that moment. Overtime, BYU just took control of the game. And what do? This week? They win. And when did it start? It started on that one play after Zach Wilson's mom prayed.
Yeah. It's a good point.
It's a really great point.
She probably fasted during halftime. And then she got there. You go.
Maybe they don't have good food.
Come on, Scott.
I know
you're playing around here.
No, I'm not playing.
Oh, okay.
Look, prayer works.
Okay,
and it really does.
In football games, though. All right.
I used to pray.
So I know you did.
I used to pray.
You put pennies in. You put pennies in your shoes too. I got my lucky penny.
If I thought that it might help me win during the game, I'd pray during the game.
You know what though? You know who doesn't. You know who doesn't pray before games?
Yeah, everyone at the University of Utah.
No, I wasn't going to go that far. But
those sinners.
I wasn't going to go that far. But you know who doesn't pray before games and he wins every one of them?
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
I like football season. That guy doesn't say prayers. He wins every football game. Yeah. Come on, man.
Tom Brady.
All right, so Scott's...
We should pray for Tom Brady.
So hold on. Let me get this right. Let me get this straight. Your way that BYU wins this football game is through the power of prayer. Hold on, I'm writing this down.
That's a start. That's one thing.
And then don't turn the ball over.
Don't turn the ball over.
All right. So there's Scott. Are these the nuggets you drop on Bill during the game with Utah? Is this what you do when USC and BYU and Utah are playing this weekend?
No, I have other things.
Yeah, you've got like more analytical things that you drop for the Utes.
Here's what you want to do.
Let me hear it.
I'll give you the real stuff.
Let me hear it.
Washington has 9 new starters on defense. They haven't played anyone this year.
Zero road games this year.
So just the whole hostile environment. And you have Jacob Eason, who's a new quarterback. I don't care what you can say. He can be as talented as you want. But it's just like what happened at BYU last week, where they were able to get pressure and you make the quarterback throw at times and in places they don't want to throw.
I think that,
and if you want a key to the game, that's what it's going to be. If you can make Washington one-dimensional on offense, because they like to be balanced, they're going to try to run the ball. If BYU has that 3-down look that they've had, I guarantee you Washington's going to try to run the ball.
How does BYU then lose against Washington? Don't take care of the football.
Well, it's going to be a harder match than a week ago. This before the Utah game, this is going to be the toughest game that actually BYU plays.
Yeah, but Washington didn't look as good.
I know, but they're well coached.
I agree.
They are well. You're going to get a better coached team than you got from USC. But honestly, How BYU loses? I don't think they're going to lose, actually.
Will Tyson Williams finally get the amount of touches that he probably deserves?
They need to let him run the ball.
I want him to have 25 touches.
Off of it, and Bushman needs to catch the ball more.
Oh, give Matt Bushman the football. This is my southern accent.
But
for
really,
you.
They lose if they turn the ball over.
We're taking the break. Trying to get our phones figured out. Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, going to join us next on the program. Stay right here with us. He's going to give us some thoughts on how Utah wins this game down at the Coliseum or how they lose it. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Geary, Scott Mitchell. Keep sending your text in, 57500. Got a lot we're talking about on the program. You can fire it at us on the UCCU KSL text line. And Scott is assuring me that you were not messing around. Prayer works. Well, the jury's out for me. I know, but the jury's out for you.
That prayer works.
No, about whether or not a football game matters.
We should
though.
Have a conversation.
I've got two friends who could chat with you.
I mean about the football game part. Let me ask you a question. Do you love your kids?
What are we doing right
do
now?
Do you love your kids? What do you do every Saturday with your son?
Yeah, yeah, we watch his football
game.
You go watch his football game.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Because you care.
Right.
You care about his football game.
What are we doing right now?
So if that answers your question.
I can't believe you. You're the worst.
Because you're sitting there going, because I got you.
You
That's
didn't
why.
Get me.
I totally got you. Yeah. Wow. I think our Father in Heaven cares about all that we do. Doesn't care maybe about the outcome, but he cares.
Well, the football is a little less. I'm a little less worried about.
Yeah, I'm a lot. He's probably a lot less worried about. Nah, I don't know.
All right, 57500.
If he's a sports guy, maybe.
Jeez, Scott, going deep on this one.
It wasn't deep. It's just obvious.
All right, we're gonna go out to the phone lines. We'll ask Bill about it, maybe. voice of the Utes, Bill Riley, joining us as he does every week to give us a breakdown of anything he sees going on this weekend. I don't know. There's a game being played this week. The Utes heading down to. The Coliseum, a place that they've never won before, a place that has been a very difficult go. They've never won in the Pac-12. It's a difficult place to play. Bill Riley joining us on the program. Bill, what's up, man?
Well, here's what I need to get off my chest. Because when I sat in those chairs 18 years ago doing my very first show at KSL on a Friday, I said, thank God it's Friday. I got a call from the 8th floor.
Oh.
I wasn't discussing gospel and whether God cared about football. I might have been fired 18 years ago if I'd have brought that topic up.
Listen,
how things have changed at KSL.
Scott might be fired too. I know the jury's out still. Scott almost Scott's bearing his soul over here. I didn't know it was going to happen. This is just, you know, Scott's a passionate man, Bill. That's the only.
He's a man of extreme passion.
So he threw out there, he goes, look, I think if you're going to beat the Washington Huskies this weekend, Lisa Wilson's got to be praying real hard. That was kind of where the nexus of it was. But let's move over to the Utes and the Utah side of things. Heading down to L.A., in terms of trips that Utah makes in the Pac-12 South, this is as good as it gets. This is as big of a team as you play. And even if USC is coming off of a bad loss to BYU, this is still the road always in the South goes through USC, and in this case, Clay Helton and their freshman quarterback, Keaton Slovis.
They're like the New York Yankees or the Dallas Cowboys or the Boston Celtics or the L.A. Lakers. The brand is the brand.
Yeah.
And even when they're down, they still have dudes. And if you don't bring your A-game at the Coliseum, those dudes can make some plays. But no, you're right. I mean, any road to the Pac-12 South or a Pac-12 title usually goes to the Coliseum.
Bill, you mentioned the loss to BYU last week, and of course, Clay Helton's been a guy who's been under a lot of pressure to win. It's one of the iconic jobs in all of football. There's a great expectation. Does that pressure start affecting his coaching this week against Utah, or is it still too early? I mean, with the loss to BYU, folks, you know, aren't happy about it. But does his coaching style or him knowing that his job is in jeopardy, does it affect the way he coaches this week?
I can't imagine it doesn't. I think any of us that have a pressure on us to perform or else, it gets into your head.
Yeah.
and it affects your performance. Well, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. I guess you just kind of find out how that pressure goes. Now, you know, Clay Helton's not, you know, going to be the guy that decides the game on Friday night. It's
right.
going to be Keaton Slovis or Tyler Huntley or somebody like that. But I don't have any doubt, Scott, that I think it could impact the way he calls the game, the way they set game plans up. And don't think it doesn't impact Graham Harrell and Clancy Pendergast, too, because if Clay Helton's fired, they're all gone, too.
Yeah, and there starts to create this culture of, you know, covering your behind and all those things, and coaches get uptight, and there starts to become this fracture between the players and the coaches and the meeting rooms and practices. And you just wonder if things don't go well for USC, if things start unraveling. But I wonder, is that still too early or is it too late? And you're probably right. It does have some impact on what
I don't think it's too early. These guys, I mean, this is 25 years ago or 30 years ago, Scott, when you played. I mean, there's the internet now. There's sport. I mean, these guys know what the outside pressure is. 25, 30 years ago, you had daily newspapers and TV. You could shield guys from it. These kids all see it. Their friends are texting them and telling them. Their family members are. They're probably being reached out to by friends that play for other teams. The kids know it, too. I mean, the players don't feel the same pressure the coaches do, but they know what pressure's around the program. So I think that the culture down there has been rough anyway. But now you're turning the heat up now. You know, you've got a bad you kind of got a bad stew going, and now you're turning the heat up on that bad stew. It could go one of two ways. It could either they could rally, circle the wagons, and come together, or it could really fall apart for them.
Yeah, you just get a sense. I mean, he's been there for 10 years now. It's not new. They've had plenty of opportunities, and he's done well. I mean, but it just get a sense that this could very well be the beginning of the end for Clay Helton. And I hope it's not, but that's the reality of it, because I really enjoyed getting to know him at the Pac-12 Media Days. And so I'm sure it has an impact.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I've had plenty of opportunities on and off the air to interact with him. Seems like a really, really good guy. If he was coaching at Oregon State or if he was coaching at Colorado,
he'd be there forever. Yeah,
right.
But USC is just a different animal and a different beast, and different kinds of pressure come with that job.
And he knows it. I mean, he actually we played one of our conversations we had with him at Pac-12 Media Days, and he was like, "I know what the pressure is, and I want it that way. I mean, why would you want to be at a place where you don't progress and get any better?" And he's like, "And I know that's what my boss has expected me." And he knows what the pressure is. It's not going to be a question about whether or not he's going to show up prepared, I don't think. It's just about whether or not, you know, that pressure becomes too much. But Bill, let's talk about these last 2 weeks of Idaho State and Northern Illinois and what the Utes have learned, what you've learned about this Ute team. I remember when I got home and I pulled up on TiVo, the Utah game, I start watching and I see Brian Thompson, and Scott tells me, "Hey man, this guy is a new weapon for Tyler Huntley." And I'm watching Brian Thompson, I'm going, "This is amazing. This kid's got a lot of talent." Are there other emergences like that where you go over these last 2 weeks where you go, "Man, we know this now about the Utes, and these guys are going to make a bigger impact"?
Well, I just think that we've seen the offense, because there's been a few guys that have popped just a little bit, but we knew who Zach Moss was, we knew who Tyler Huntley was, sure, some of that stuff, but we hadn't seen him do it in Andy Ludwig's offense. And Andy kind of took what they gave him in the BYU game, and unlike USC, he ran the ball against a three-man front, didn't have to get super exotic. But the last couple of weeks, we've seen him open up the pass game a little bit more, get the tight ends involved, get some big plays down the field. And what I've really seen is it looks like Utah is really comfortable in Andy Ludwig's offense. This is a good fit. You know, we kind of thought going through fall camp that it was a good fit for Tyler Huntley, and everybody told us that. But you kind of have to see it with your own eyes to really believe it. But it does look like that. I mean, and the numbers are bearing it out. I mean, Huntley's the most accurate passer in the country right now. He's got the best QBR in the Pac-12 right now, and he's playing at a super high level. That tells me he's comfortable with what he – not only the offense itself, but I think he and Andy – and Scott, you could probably speak to this better than me, but it seems like he and Andy have a good rapport, and Andy knows what fits Tyler, and Tyler's comfortable running what Andy calls.
No, that's exactly right. And you you can have the greatest plays in the world, but if your quarterback doesn't have confidence in him, they're worthless. So – you just get a sense that they're certainly on the same page with things. And And just watching Tyler a year ago and knowing what he did well, you can see that Andy's playing into that. So moving Tyler a little bit in the pocket, taking shots down the field off of play action is a better fit for Tyler than to kind of sit in the pocket and have to do a traditional kind of reading the defense type of situation. That's just not Tyler's strength. And so it's been a good fit, and there's so many weapons for Tyler. I mean, it's just crazy what he actually has to work with.
Bill, we're headed out here. We've got a break. We're up against it here, but we appreciate you joining us, and have fun down in L.A. Take Scott somewhere nice to eat, would you? The guy's skin and bones.
I'll do that. We'll probably get a tomahawk steak or something.
Oh. We're staying away from the tomahawks this year. You had to bring that one up, Bill.
Bill, thanks for hanging out, man.
See you guys later.
We'll talk to you later. We've got to go around. We got a break here to get to when we come back. Sam Farnsworth, KSL5 Television, is going to join us. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Fame quarterback after being benched now? Stay with us. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. A couple segments into the show. More to go.
I'm in the wrong building. I didn't know. I'm on the wrong show.
What do you mean you're on the wrong
show? I'm just kidding.
Well, Scott's
wait,
in the
wait, right. It's KSL's Unrivaled? I shouldn't be here.
You're in the right place, Scott. You're among friends.
I'm at the right place at the right time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Scott's here. We're hanging out. And we've also invited a friend into the studio. His name is Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television. Sam, you feeling okay?
Friend. I like that you use the word friend. Well, it's making me feel good.
Look, thank you. You learn a lot thank about you. Somebody when you travel with somebody. That's right. I always tell you this. And Sam and I spent
that was a good time.
A few days in Knoxville together. Knoxville. And we've shared some meals together. Now I know a little bit more about
Sam.
You
got to go to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. You're going to L.A. in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to L.A. like
Can
right
we hurry
now.
This up? I need to go.
So Sam comes in. We've got a couple things we want to bring up. And I like throwing weird topics at Sam, too, because you've got the
– Well, look, Sam's kind of weird.
He's kind of a weird dude. Yeah. Well, he can handle it. And
Different.
So
– Peculiar.
But also, peculiar. Sam is the kind of guy that – now, you covered the Broncos for a lot of years.
Yes.
You came over from Colorado Springs.
Correct.
And this is – I mean, that was obviously a big market for the Broncos.
Yes.
And you grew up a Broncos fan, so you have, yeah. like, all that background,
right.
too.
Right.
Which – am I not supposed to say that? Sorry.
No,
people
fine.
Can know it.
It's, right. Yeah, why not? It's NFL.
So – when you saw all the things that are kind of going on, you know good quarterbacks. You've seen it. You watched Peyton. You covered Peyton Manning when he was
yeah,
there.
Right.
He was okay.
He was all right.
Wasn't too bad. No.
So
he has a brother.
He does have a brother.
He's no Trevor Siemian.
He's a boy.
And thank goodness for that.
And, so Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I walk into the office today and there was some hot Eli Manning talk in the office. Yeah. There was some yelling. A few tears were shed. and I'm not kidding because we have a very passionate Giants fan in our office.
Yes, we do. And I did not know that until today.
No, and it's because and the thing was I walked into it. And Scott, imagine this. She's just come off an impassioned speech. I walk into it. And she goes, and somebody asked me, Alex, what do you think about Eli right. Manning? And I said, oh, that benched loser, you know, because I knew it would make her react, and she feels so mad about it. Now, I think that Eli Manning is overall has had an amazing career,
right?
But he's at this point now where, and Scott, you've talked about it a ton. It's just like,
there
are competitors who just will. You don't know when to hang it up because you think all the time I can be there. And I thought you bringing up Brett Favre last night in this space of because we didn't know he was going to be. You said you might see him bench in the next week or two, and it just so happened that today was the day.
Yeah. Right.
But Eli Manning, and this was the question that Sam, Sam's walking around preaching to people. Hey, man, is Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame? And my answer was yes.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No. So my addendum to the question, so to speak, is, and I know, and everyone's burning me. You can't say that, though. My thing is, take away his two Super Bowls, okay? And I know people listening to this are already losing their minds.
Because it's not just Super Bowls. It's Super Bowl MVPs you're taking away,
right,
too.
Right. But the reason why I bring this up is take away the two Super Bowls. Would you consider Eli Manning an MVP? A Hall of Famer, right? And of course, Madison's response was yes. So, yeah, still.
Yeah,
I said, well, how about Philip Rivers? Is he a Hall of Famer? She said no. I'm like, Phillip Rivers, in my opinion,
has better numbers.
Is the better quarterback than Eli Manning. Right. He just doesn't have two Super Bowl wins. I think they're both Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Eventually,
why are you wanting to take away the Super Bowls?
I'm not. I'm just saying, if you're not taking that into consideration, does that?
Well, you have to take that into consideration.
I guess so. But if you were
just going by the numbers, though, which you have to do for guys like Dan Marino, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
I think your comparison is you have to look at Phillip Rivers against someone who's maybe in the halt like Dan Marino, or a guy like Ken Anderson.
Okay,
Ken Anderson for the Cincinnati Bengals had an amazing career, and he was amazing in a very tough division. Mm-hmm. He had to play the Pittsburgh Steelers twice a year. His entire career in their prime was amazing. Never won a Super Bowl.
And no one talks about him because he's not Terry Bradshaw, right?
I mean, so in football, more so than any other professional sport, and I think you would agree with me, Scott, is that the success of a team really hinges on pretty much all 11, all 22 guys, right? I mean, you can have a few weak links somewhere in there, probably.
Not when I was in Detroit. It was all the quarterback's fault when we lost. I'll just tell you that right now.
But what I'm saying is, you know, in baseball, it's a lot more of an individual game. So is basketball, even, you know. And so to win a Super Bowl, I don't think you can ever pinpoint it on one individual player. Right. Maybe in that one game, but the whole process of getting there and winning it. So that's the reason why I made the argument. However, the reason why I brought it up was because I was telling her also that because
you're hassling Madison. That's why, over his
career, I don't think I ever would have in any individual season of his career. And I've had this debate in the past, and that's why it came up. He was never a top five, barely a top 10 quarterback in any individual season in the league, in my opinion. I thought Breeze, Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger, Rivers, all these guys I had listed ahead of him. Almost every single year. And he won his Super Bowls. And ultimately, you look at his career numbers and everything, and yes, he will be a Hall of Famer, I think.
Do you know why he'll be a Hall of Famer?
Is it because of the last name?
No. Okay. That plays into it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's that he played in New York.
It's the biggest media market in the world. And we brought that
and
up
you
with
that. You get a guy like Phillip Rivers, who, like you're saying, is probably a better quarterback. I don't know that Phillip Rivers is in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe not.
But Eli Manning also has thrown for almost 60,000 yards and 362 touchdowns.
He also has a lot of picks.
He does have 241 picks, but I will say that Brett Favre has a cajillion.
Terry Bradshaw has more interceptions and touchdowns. I mean, Terry Bradshaw, there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that have thrown a lot of interceptions.
And Terry Bradshaw is one of the ultimate examples, in my opinion, of someone who made the Hall of Fame because the success of a team.
Right.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Maybe more so than Eli Manning.
Correct.
I brought up the NFL. I brought up the Super Bowl MVP, and then Sam throws in my face a guy who I watched very closely because I was living in Dallas at the time. He goes, Larry Brown was also an MVP of the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah.
When Neil O'Donnell threw those easy picks into his breadbasket. Yeah. It's a little different as
Larry
a DB.
Larry Brown never threw any interceptions. he only had three in his whole career.
Paid.
And they were all in the
he
Super
got
Bowl.
Paid.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I got to ask you this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Utah's playing at USC. Never won in the Coliseum.
Right.
Is that a thing? Like, does it play into your psyche that – there's just venues you just never seem to – are there curses? Is there
– right?
Does the mental side of this play into it, or what is it?
I would think that it shouldn't, and it doesn't. So you can say, it's been 103 years, right? But how many times have they played each other over 103 years? It really hasn't gotten going since they joined the Pac-12, right?
Right.
So in my opinion – it shouldn't be a thing. And I think Utah's going to go in there and crush them anyway. I think it's going to be like 35-17 is my official score there. I think Utah, they're going to get all over Slovis.
I get it. I think that if he had three picks last week, he might have three again this week. And that's going to be a good week
for him.
He's
going to get sacked a bunch too, I think.
he'll be under pressure a lot more. All right. Yeah. Sam, what's on Sports Beat tonight? Real quick, what do you got?
We're going to hear from Taysom Hill. He might be a starting quarterback this weekend. We have no idea. No confirmation. We're going to hear from him and Teddy Bridgewater coming up tonight at 10 on what's going on with the Saints and their quarterback situation.
Bridgewater will start.
He should. He probably will.
Scott.
But Coach Payton is saying that they're going to use both quarterbacks.
Well,
in the
of course
offense.
He's saying it.
Of course.
All right. We'll see how it works out. We've got to talk about that as well.
1A.
Sam, thanks for hanging out, bro.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take the break here. Join Sam, KSL 5 Television, 10 o'clock tonight. We'll be right back. Got our MVPs right around the corner. Don't miss it. Stay with us.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out with us. We bid adieu to our buddy Sam Farnsworth, who walks out to do some TV.
He's a bit of a peculiar person.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. he just – I always make fun of him because he's a Broncos fan, and that's fine. Sam is one of my favorite people.
Oh, wait a second. You are not a Broncos fan.
No.
You hate everything about Denver.
The entire city.
I couldn't figure out what it was in the beginning of our
Western Nebraska. Western Nebraska.
Yeah, it's like, why is Alex such a hater on Denver? And then I realized he's from Seattle.
Western Kansas.
Like the Seahawks and the Broncos.
Yeah, and that's old school AFC West stuff right there. I mean, that's like Steve Largent getting rocked, you know? David Craig fumbling into the hands of many a Bronco over the years.
Well, he fumbled into many hands.
I was going to say, I think
he's on the preliminary list for
– I think he's
the
number
Hall
one.
Hall of Fame ballot.
Oh, no. On the Hall of Fame for fumbling ballots.
Well, he's on the Hall of Fame ballot.
I think he still might be the career all-time fumbles leader in the NFL. That's not a joke. That's not like
– Dave and I played together.
What kind of a guy was Dave Craig?
He was the kind of guy – I liked him. But he also was kind of looking to take your job.
Oh, well, but that's you, too. Like, you were that guy, too. Stop acting like...
No, I mean, he came there in a role. He came in there in a role to be the backup.
Yeah.
But, no, I liked him.
All right.
Good dude.
I'm still efforting to see if we can... we got to try to confirm how many fumbles he has. Dave Craig threw for 40,000 yards, though. Dang.
I know. Oof. He had a long career.
Man. Yeah. But career leader in... NFL career leader in fumbles. There you go. Good for him. Gosh, the Seahawks were terrible while he was there.
It's good that you at least lead in something.
Yeah, you better to be a has. What was it? What's your saying?
It's better to be a has been than it never was.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
And
hey,
the worst position in football is left out.
I played that one quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go, Scott. We're going to do it. It's that time of night where we get to our people who won the day for us. It's our unrivaled MVPs.
The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
Uh-huh.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
I'll do my usual thing where I bow to you, Scott, and I say...
Would you like me to go first?
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Because I have it's not just about you going first. I've got some great sound that we can listen to.
Let's play the sound.
Why don't you you want me to play it right now or you want to tee it up? Okay.
No, go ahead.
This is Scott's MVP for the day.
We have a good chance at having success if we're able to take care of the football.
Oh, sorry,
that's Kalani. On the other side of
I was going to say, Kalani's your MVP again? Jeez. All right, here we go.
There's no other option but just to handle it and do my job, support my teammates, support the Giants, and do what I can do to try to help go into football games. And right now that's getting Daniel and helping him and supporting him.
So that Eli Manning,
yeah.
who is now the number two quarterback for the New York Giants. This is a guy who comes from a family of Mannings. Has won two Super Bowls for the New York Giants. Has had a quite a stellar career in New York, and now he's asked to sit down. And I can just tell you, from someone who's been asked to sit down before, it is not a fun thing to do. And so my hat is off to Eli, because I know that everything that came out of his mouth was so hard to say in that clip, and that he didn't really mean it, but he was going to figure out a way to make that happen and to be a good teammate. To be supportive of Daniel and the whole situation, and try to make the most of it.
I love
it.
We're talking about Daniel like he's like.
I'm just telling you, it's killing him inside. So my hat's off to him. I know what that's like, and to handle that gracefully.
That's why he's your MVP.
That's why he's my MVP. Because I don't.
I've always like listen.
Hard,
I'll tell you
hard,
what.
It's hard to have that grace in those moments.
I laughed a little bit today because I've never been a Giants fan. But I was always happy when they...
I'm not really a Giants fan either.
No, but when they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I was like, awesome. That's great. That's amazing. And the guy was just... He was fun to watch in these clutch moments. And, man, when you win not just Super Bowls, but you're the quarterback and you win the MVP of the Super Bowl a couple of times, I mean, he has brought the New York Giants Super Bowl championships. So he'll never be able to have that taken away from him. He'll never be able to have what the only thing that's happened at this point is that he's probably overstayed his prime.
And in the NFL, just like New York, people get a lot more credit than they probably deserve. They also get more scrutiny than they certainly deserve. And so that's the kind of trade-off right there.
But he made the throws. He made the plays in the biggest stage in the world, and my hat's off to him for that. That I think it's awesome.
362 career touchdowns thrown. I mean, you hang him up now, and you're already going to be probably in the Hall of Fame. So I agree. I think that he handles it. He's always handled it with class. And while he's always played second fiddle to Peyton Manning, who leads basically the NFL passing, or you know, all the records that matter, he's always one, two, or three in that list. Eli Manning is not going to be forgotten because the guy's awesome. The guy's been awesome, and I didn't even like him, but I like how he handles himself. He's always been a pro about it. And a good SNL host, too, by the way. When he would host SNL, he did just as good a job as Peyton did, I think. Scott, my MVP.
Which is important, Alex.
My MVP, and we said this, I think, during Hard Knocks, when the Raiders were wrapping up Hard Knocks, and I think there are only four or five episodes, you know, they do, of Hard Knocks every year. I was like, I wish they would do this for college. And I know you can't treat college like you do the pros because pros are getting paid, and these college kids, you know, you don't want to scrutinize them too much because really, you know, they're college kids. But HBO is doing a docuseries similar to Hard Knocks for college teams. And so they're my MVPs. And here's why. The teams that they've already picked, you're going to get episodes that feature the Penn State Nittany Lions.
That'll be exciting.
You're going to get episodes that feature the Florida Gators and their head coach, Dan Mullen. But here it is. Two Pac-12 teams represented. Coach Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils. That's a good one.
You think Herm prays?
Oh, boy. He was praying on us during the Pac-12 media days.
I know.
So Herm's going to be awesome. But more importantly, and here's why they really earned MVP, they got the Pirate to agree to it. Mike Leach and the Washington State Cougars are going to be featured in this docuseries that is similar to Hard Knocks on HBO. And I'm going to be all over it because I love that kind of stuff. So can't wait to see when that actually happens. Jeremy, do we know when those are going to be happening or no? We'll have to find out. We'll get more details on when those are coming out. Coming back next hour. Hour number two of the program. You don't want to miss it. We've got so much more to talk about. Yes, Taysom Hill. That's going to come up. Should he be the starter? Stay with us.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, hour number two of the program. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. By the way, if you miss any of the program, you can download the podcast anywhere podcasts are found. KSL's Unrivaled. Just look it up. KSL Unrivaled. You'll find a picture of Scott and myself. And guess what? Also, you go to KSLSports.com now. You can watch the live stream of the broadcast as well. So we encourage you to do that. You can look into the studio. Scott made some promises that he was going to have to clean up his act. He wouldn't eat the food off his shirt during the breaks anymore or right before we go on. And you even said, you said, look, it's like the NFL. When you know you're on TV, can't pick your nose behind your face mask anymore. And can't say the cup.
I'll have to bring a towel to the radio show.
Just so you can wipe your face.
And then I cover my face up so anything I say or whatever, you'll never know what it is.
Someone said, can you actually hear what you guys are saying during the break? And I said, heavens no. Although I wish we could. Sometimes I think that it's a lot of fun. We have just as much fun during the breaks
that
as
would,
we do.
That would be fun.
It'd be interesting. All right. Scott, we got to kick off this part of the show. Okay, we have a lot of stuff to get to, and our 8:05 cut, we're just going to jump right in here. It's the most important thing at the top of this hour. It's our 8:05 cut.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
So, isn't that funny? Like, you've never seen so many New Orleans Saints fans in the state of Utah as we've seen in the last couple of years with Taysom Hill down there. And with Drew Brees going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
I'm a Drew Brees fan, and I'm a Taysom Hill fan.
To your credit, you've been, from the beginning, you're like, that guy is underutilized. They got to figure out what they can do with this cat. And I think Sean Payton, when it's all said and done, people are going to look at him and go, he's changed the game for good. Because,
I'd love to play for Sean Payton.
I mean, he just goes, where can I put you? What can we do with you? What's your strength? Let's figure it out. And I think that Taysom Hill's strength is in the role that he's in right now. I hope that he has a 15-year career as a gadget guy, as a who's a what's a who
go,
am
go
I?
Gadget guy?
Go gadget guy. Go gadget Taysom. Get him out there on the field, and suddenly he's a tight end. The play before that, he's running quarterback. The play before that, he's lined up next to Drew Brees. Play after that, he'll be in the slot. I love that role that he's playing. And maybe his dream is to just be the guy. And people are going to just grade him on whether or not they'll just say, yeah, he's a terrible quarterback, man. You can't be the quarterback. I'm like, he's an amazing football player. Why don't we just let him be that? But the Saints are going to have to figure out who the starting quarterback is for this week. And Sean Payton is being very coy about it. Let's see if we can find something that he said in these comments about who the starting quarterback is going to be. See if we can decipher it. See if Scott can put on the old, here's what he really meant to say type of stuff. You already know what he's going to say. All right, let's listen to what Sean Payton said about playing a couple of quarterbacks or who his starter was this week as they take on the Seattle Seahawks.
I think you do. And you making the assumption he's the number two, we'll approach this game with two quarterbacks, and we'll see where we're at with it. So, but we'll have the right plan relative to what those guys are going to be doing.
Those guys are the Seattle Seahawks, and they're not chumps on defense, and they're playing in Seattle.
Yeah, all he's saying is he's going to do things like he's been doing it already. Taysom Hill plays in the game as quarterback
right now.
That's not going to change.
But everybody gets caught up in. Do we get caught up too much in the starting guy and who the guy is, or because in my mind,
his role may expand. Like he may get more opportunities,
a couple more snaps.
And they might see. Hey, look, if I'm a guy, I'm a starter, and I take my hats off to Drew Brees. I don't want the backup coming in. You said
this week that when you had the chance. Like, you didn't let the backup guys get reps during practice?
Heck no. And to get a rep in a game, are you kidding me?
No way. Now let them see what they could get with one guy, now, with one throw or something?
I believe that Drew Brees goes, Taysom Hill's no threat to me.
Certainly. Drew Brees is grandfathered in.
And if he's a talent and he's a guy that can help us win and we can put him in these different situations and it creates – more for a defense to prepare for. That's what Taysom Hill is.
Maybe I take 11 snaps off a game, too, so I just add a little bit more to my career. And it helps us score, then great.
But I could see an expanded role from Taysom Hill in this game and moving forward just to see or just to kind of give him more opportunities to develop as a quarterback. And I'm not saying, like, more reps, like, as wide receiver, but literal quarterback reps. So – Taysom Hill could possibly come out and start the game.
What are you from, Houston?
I mean,
shoot, he could come out and start that game.
Right. I mean, and then have one play, and then here comes Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, you just don't know, but,
So they signed JT Barrett. What does that mean? Because they have Teddy Bridgewater, they have Taysom Hill, and they have JT Barrett now.
Because they go, we need to get both of these guys ready to play. We just need another body.
If something happens...
It's just
because Taysom's playing special teams,
right?
And he's out there.
Yeah.
So you essentially have a quarterback and a half that you're using right now. You needed a third body.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't read too much into that. And plus,
so the starter's not JT Barrett. They're not bringing in. No,
he'll be lucky to be active.
That'd be really funny that all of this is just moot because Eli Manning comes in as the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints after they do a trade.
Eli Manning will end up somewhere next year. He will. I don't know. I don't know that he gets traded this year.
Can you call somebody and tell him to give it up? I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying he's kind of done. Well, I don't want to go back to Eli. But
all I'm going to all I'm going to tell you about that is play as long as you can, Eli. I don't care how bad they think you are. Get it out of your system. I actually kind of like, as I've thought through this with Taysom Hill, I kind of like where the Saints are because Sean Payton is creative. And I can totally see this. I can see Taysom Hill getting legitimate, maybe even series, as the starter, and not as a Teddy Bridgewater. You're not doing very well, but maybe because in all reality, Taysom Hill has more experience in the last couple of years being a quarterback out on the field for the Saints than Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater hadn't been playing.
Well, that's why I think a lot of people saw Teddy Bridgewater. this last week, and they went, we don't even see this guy ever. We see Taysom Hill a lot more on the field.
Right.
But I do think that –
you can't read too much into that because he
was thrown in a bad situation, right?
Yeah.
And he's going against the best defense in the league.
It's weird how you just get reps and all of a sudden you get prepared as far as, the game plans catered towards what you're comfortable with, what you like, what you're doing. It's not about Drew Brees. And you do so much better that second week. When I was a backup, though, I will tell you, Alex, I was like, I never looked like I got that grace week. I always felt like I needed to be prepared to go in and help the team win right
now.
Well,
you had to. Like, so first opportunities were.
I would spend extra time after practice throwing routes to guys, getting reps anywhere I could. And you could find guys to do that. I mean, my son right now, that's what I go, you're not getting the reps in practice. You better go make your own reps so that when you do get in a game that, you know, you make something happen.
I'm interested. I'm really interested in what they do this weekend. I could just see Sean Payton going, who cares about the traditional starter? I don't care who it is. Start Teddy Bridgewater, but Taysom gets 25 throws or 10 rushes at the quarterback. We're going to do something totally different. Only advantage they have is that Seattle's not going to know what to expect.
I just feel with Taysom Hill, it's almost like if he gets his opportunity, he might just be something special.
All right. Let's take the break. When we come back, you've got mega kajillions. What would you do with those mega kajillions as a mega booster for your college football team? Your help is needed. They're calling on you. You're the new T. Boone Pickens. What do you do with the billions of dollars you can do to help out, or at least the multi-million dollars you can do to help out your college team? Stay with us. More to go. It is KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie, KSL's Unrivaled. It's a Wednesday, and there's nothing on television that's worthwhile that we're talking about.
I know, it's worthwhile. This
so guess what we have to do? We have to talk on the radio. Are you looking
Where's
for this?
Where's the channel changer? Yeah, don't do that. Don't act like my dad. Look at him. You're acting like you're like pulling it away from me.
Would you like this?
You know what my favorite move my dad would do? He'd fall asleep with the – my favorite thing is my dad would fall asleep with the changer on his chest like
right.
this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's – and it's just like a Sunday afternoon – and the game is over, and so I need to move over to Fox now, right? And so I do the thing where – and my dad just won't – he doesn't want to relinquish the changer, right? And then you go over and you go, okay, this is a covert mission here. I've got to steal this remote without waking the bear. And so I would take the remote, and my dad would wake up inevitably, and he would look at me and he'd go – and he'd rip it out of my hand and be like, I don't think so. And I'd be like, Dad, just change it to Fox, please. He's like, and then he's like, I'm watching this. I'm watching. Don't try to do this. But also full disclosure, Scott, as we went into the show during this break, he goes, all right, come on. Let's go. This is my last show of the week. Let's go.
Oh. Well, yeah. Come
and
on.
I said,
I want to make it a good one.
Let's finish strong. Went, oh, that's where Scott's head's at.
That's right.
I'm going to L.A. jet bound tomorrow. Do you sit right next to Bill on the plane?
Oh, no.
Next to Tom Hackett.
It's
on the
a
plane.
Small jet. I sit. It's like one
seat. Or you get
seat,
your own row.
One seat, two seats.
Hey, Buffer.
They put me in the exit
Do
row.
Do they give you.
I get the exit row.
Yeah, that's good.
It's really good.
Do they give you. It's a chartered flight, though, right?
Yeah.
Do they do snacks?
They do it right.
No.
They do it
bro,
right.
Oh, what does that mean?
They just say the
salmon puffs?
They do,
what do we got
they
going
do,
on here?
They do it way
like,
right.
What are they probably going to be serving tomorrow?
I don't know. It'll be good.
But is it a meal?
You get a meal when you get to the airport.
Oh yeah. Because you're there with the team, basically. So they're like, they
no,
show
we're
up.
Not
and
with the team.
Who's got the meal at the airport?
The charter service.
Oh, wow.
And then they have all kinds of crazy stuff on the airplane. Snacks. They have good snacks on the
and
airplane.
You're a snack guy.
Yeah, I like my snacks.
I like my snacks.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
All right. See, this is kind of information I need to know. And well, our listeners need
all
to
gotta
know.
All I got to do is ask.
I just did.
I just tell you.
I love it. Don't steal this. Don't steal the charger.
You want me to bring you a snack?
Absolutely. If you could steal a little something from the charter service, snack service.
All
I'd
right. Let me
it.
See what I can do.
Scott, I want to talk about this real quick. T. Boone Pickens, may he rest, the multi-billionaire who was famously a big-time booster for Oklahoma State University. This is a guy who, you know, I mean, I think it's T. Boone Pickens Stadium, and, you know, there's this T. Boone Pickens, field house, T. Boone Pickens building here
we
and there.
We have buildings and field houses and stadiums.
Right, that are named after,
after people.
But T. Boone Pickens has money that even the people that are in the upper echelons of money here – that they don't even touch,
yeah.
Right? I mean, this is a guy, this is an oil tycoon.
$2.7 billion in 2007 alone in the oil and gas industry.
Pretty good. So this is a guy
it was a good year.
At his death was worth about $30 billion. And now that is a ton. Now let's say you've got the ability to be able to change your college program for good, the college program of your choice for good. Because
this,
like,
this
there
is
are,
a
there
fun
are,
discussion.
Every
Alex.
School's got yeah. rich people sure. that are backing yeah. them, right? And yeah. I think about the money that came in from the Garf family that is improving the $17 million going into
Garf Layton Construction.
Oh yeah, and I think about like
Eccles, and,
right? Yes, in the years of yes, the yeah. Chem Gardeners and all the people yep. who their names are on buildings across everywhere. Tons of money there down at BYU. It's this new
Huntsman Marriott.
Yes, there's this yeah. new movement of money too of young people that are right. the Qualtrics guys and the yep. and the Vivint guys and all this stuff. They're throwing money at BYU like crazy. And so the idea is, as a booster, what do you do? What do you do? Because you
well,
can
I know
actually.
What I do.
Okay. Oh, you've got some stuff written down.
Yes. Yeah, I can spend other people's money like nobody's business. This is really
right.
Easy.
So, but where would you actually make a difference? Because for me, I wonder.
We're talking about football programs,
because
right?
Yes, because T. Boone Pickens, a lot of money, but you know what he didn't do? He never bought Oklahoma State a national championship. Money doesn't necessarily buy you a national championship
well,
because certainly
it in the
he's
wrong
got
places.
It. Oh, so he hasn't been spending it right?
No.
Okay, Scott, where do your kajillions of dollars go? And by the way, you can participate with us along.
All right, every
you can
every
send us
recruit.
A, hold on, send us a text message. 57500 is the text number. What would you spend your multi-million dollars of donations on?
Billions of dollars.
Well, the billions. Okay, so let's take it. You've got $1 billion to throw at your school. What would you spend it on?
I'm going to spend it on the recruits to start with. So
what do you mean the recruits?
Well, because you got to get them.
You got
to
get
school.
like a room with Xboxes.
I don't care what it takes, whatever it takes. Figure out how to get them. Whatever gets them.
Are you talking about getting mom a new car, that kind of thing?
All I'm saying is.
Oh, you're not going to talk about it.
Not that. But I think it would be cool to fly all of the recruits to the school for their visit on a private jet.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
With snacks.
With the snacks.
Yes.
And when you arrive, there's also a meal.
There's a meal.
There's a guy with white yeah. gloves on.
I mean, maybe there's a meal on the flight.
Okay.
Like a private chef. Okay. Here's the
That's
next
nice.
Thing I'd do.
Okay.
I would do spring football in Europe.
In Europe?
Yes.
No one would come watch it.
Well, you don't care if they watch it. Well, you'd have you need special bonding purposes. So you fly to, and you go to these different countries.
Well, now, hold on. Michigan's done this garbage.
I know, but
hasn't paid off for them either.
Well, you got to do it better than Michigan.
So Michigan's gone to South Africa. Let me see here. They've gone to Italy and practiced there.
Well, I'd go to Italy, too.
Michigan's football trip to South Africa was, quote, amazing this year. It's like, that's great, but they're not winning. Anyway, keep
That's
going.
That's because they don't keep flying
go
the recruits
to South Africa.
School.
All right, so
I'd have new uniforms for every single game.
Oh,
I'd have a different uniform combination every single game.
What about throwing the? That'd be kind of cool because you could throw your jersey into the crowd every game too.
Right,
and you just have so much goodwill.
Yes.
Trade jerseys with the other players. They're not allowed to trade their jerseys with you because they can't afford it, though.
All right, here's my last thing.
What is it?
At least for right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have unlimited gear and shoes.
Oh.
For a lifetime.
For a lifetime?
Yeah. Just put them on constant.
So you get a couple of pairs of shoes every year?
Constant retainer, yeah.
Wow.
And you get like a.
So they're doing like the alumni recruiting thing all the time, then.
You get like a.
You got to be like a two-year letterman.
You'd get like an allotment every year. Like you're going to get $10,000 a year in gear and shoes for a life.
Wow.
And then here's the last thing I would do.
That's a lot of letterman you're paying for, though. I guess $1 billion goes a long way. You're right.
Kajillions of dollars here.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Okay. Here's what I'd do. I'd make sure that all of my alumni
mm-hmm.
were a part of the program. I'd bring everyone back.
Bring them all back.
Make them feel like they were part of the program.
What do you?
And that would include they'd always have really good seats. they would always be taken care of.
Or put them on the sideline where they want to be.
Wherever they wanted to be.
And snacks on the sideline.
Well, no, snacks in the jet that picked them up to have them come back to every game. I'm just telling you.
Scott, you always talk about thinking big, and man, I'm not impressed this time. Not impressed.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
You're always talking about...
That kind of hurt my feelings.
Well, listen. Wait till you hear my ideas.
All right. And I'd hire Urban Meyer and pay him $10 million.
There you go. Now you're thinking. You know what I would do?
I would. I'd get the best coach.
I think the recruiting's a big deal. Yeah. And for in BYU's case, like if you're a mega booster, pay the coaches what they not just deserve, but what's going to get the best guys in. So you get the best guys with the money. And, you know, it's kind of fun to think about, like, the pods in the locker room where they can sleep and get a personal trainer assigned to them, whatever. Trips to Harry Potter World. I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. The VW Jetta. Just thinking off the top of my head. Those are all Nick Emery references, by the way, for you.
Oh.
Sorry.
I didn't get it.
No, I got it. Now you got it. Here's how I'm thinking big, though. It starts with the recruiting. Where are the biggest states where
That's what I said.
Where are the biggest states where you recruit?
Okay.
Where?
California, Texas, and Florida.
Okay. So the Keery Preparatory Academy.
Okay.
Will be planted in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the Miami, Florida. And Miami is kind of a big – is or would you put it in Orlando?
No.
Miami, in terms of a hotbed for talent.
Palm Beach. Just
Palm Beach.
It's
kind of more centralized.
Yeah.
And then the Los Angeles area somewhere. The Keery Preparatory Academy. All right? The Keery BYU Preparatory Academy. All right?
Okay.
Here's what we got going on. We have a hotbed there. And we are – you're talking about snacks. I have a preparatory school.
You bring all the recruits.
Those recruits are – they're going to go through that school. I am recruiting guys from
training.
I'm recruiting all the best players in that state from California want to go to my academy. All the players who go that are in Texas there, they want to go to my academy. And all the people that are there in Florida, they want to go to my academy.
And they all come to
and then they end up coming to BYU.
Come to your school.
Boom.
Smart idea.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm building big schools thinking big.
You thought big. My
taking
snacks on the plane weren't very good.
Snacks on a plane. It's a very different trailer. All right, taking a break here when we come back. Speaking of gear, how important has the uniform game gotten across the state of college football? BYU changing things up this weekend. Utah looking sharp against the Trojans this weekend. How important are uniforms nowadays in 2019? We'll talk
the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. Scott always laments Wednesdays because there's not enough sports on TV.
It's just too far from anything.
It is. It's our island.
I know that there's a Thursday night game, but it's a game. Like, we want games.
And it hasn't happened yet.
I'm kind of a snob. I want a plethora of games.
I like that you're a snob about it, but it also gives us an opportunity to jam on some of the other subjects that we see throughout the week. And one of the things that kind of captured our attention this week was the idea of, and we've talked about this before, at least this, the obsession that people have with gear, with equipment, with the jerseys. And BYU this week rolled out that they're going to be it's not just the jersey thing they're rolling out either. For the 150th anniversary of college football, they're doing kind of a throwback game this weekend against Washington. So it's going to be the whiteout in the stands.
Right.
And that's always a joke because everybody goes, well, it's a bunch of white kids down in Provo.
Yeah.
And sober down in Provo.
And
the whiteout.
Yeah, white doesn't really get you excited.
Scott doesn't get excited about it. But look,
white,
that's part of the deal.
Boy,
right?
That's really going to.
Oh, stop it. They're going to be wearing the white helmets with the old school Y on it, a la the 1920s or 1930s when they had that white helmet gear kind of look. They're going to have that helmet midfield. They're going to have the diamond 1960s end zones. And then the uniforms, all white top, white helmet, like I said, and then royal blue pants, which they haven't done in a long time. And this gets everybody all riled up because then people go, hate it, hate that look, don't care for it. What is your thought on the whole obsession that we have now with jerseys and with the gear and with all these things? Because I look at it and I go – everybody freaks out about the blackouts. They freak out about what color shoes people have on. They freak out about whatever is being worn or not being worn by a team when they're playing somebody. I mean, the Utah equipment Twitter page has to put out, here's what we're wearing this weekend. Everybody, does it look okay? Just so the fans will not – I mean, basically, people won't shut up about what the teams are going to be wearing that weekend, and I'm a little over it.
So I'll tell you that gear matters.
Like, I know it does.
No, it's not even like a close thing. Like it might be the most important thing.
What are you talking about? It's the most important thing.
Because it's the most important thing. Like my son, he's like, look at this cool jersey I got. Look at this. I mean, when he got his football equipment, it was the most exciting thing in the world to him.
Now I remember that.
But here, let me.
Equipment's different from like the jersey color that weekend.
No. I want to go back to your whole whiteout thing.
Yeah.
Why this is so important. First of all, you need blackout, okay?
They've done it. And historically, they haven't done well in the black jersey, so I think they're taking a break on it.
It's BYU. What it does is it creates this unity. Like, we're all of this same color, and there's no way that you're going to stop us in any way. And you cannot defeat us. And so it's a complete intimidation factor. It's like, look at all of us here. We are united. Every single one of us, all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our fandom, our players, nobody can stop us because we are all of the same color here tonight, and you're in for it. And I'm just telling you, it has a psychological impact on the other team. And fans love it. They absolutely love it. Where are you red today?
It's a Friday before game day. Where are you blue to school? Where are you blue
No, I'm talking about game day.
Right.
Hey, I'm in the broadcast booth, and I follow protocol.
Protocol. You guys are wearing red up in the booth.
If
it's a blackout, you guys are wearing the black shirt. Right.
You're smart.
Well,
Alex,
no, I'm just saying. But they don't do the whiteout in Utah.
I follow the protocol.
They do the whiteout.
They actually have done the whiteout before.
Yeah. I've seen
I'm
it.
Not a fan of it. I think it's not an intimidating color. It's too nice. It's surrender.
It's too nice.
Let's wave the white flag. We give up. We surrender. You guys
You'd
are too
make
good.
It, now I know you have a superstition thing too, but. Week in and week out, changing your gear and fans obsessing over whether or not, you know, BYU should be in this color uniform or that helmet. I put out on Twitter earlier in the week, I said, hey, these look a lot like, you know, Yale's helmets, you know, and somebody's like, well, Yale's looks like this, it's a little different. And I just think that people get totally caught up in what they're now what's being worn. Now it's a different thing when it comes to the recruiting side of things. Recruiting side of things.
Utah has a Taj Mahal. A Taj Mahal.
It's called that?
They have a player lounge that has pool tables and ping pong. And it has luxury seats.
It's a red out every day.
They have a barber shop. They have an amazing locker room. They have an amazing training facility, like physical therapy, multiple cold and hot pool. I mean – they have the workout area is just like unparalleled.
But nobody cares about those things.
The most important room is a green room like we have here, where it's literally has the green walls and the whole thing. And in the middle of it are tables that are set up, and they have all of the gear that a player will get when they come to the University of Utah.
Oh,
it's all the multiple uniform patterns. It's all the helmets. It's the shoes.
It's that cool hoodie that you're not going to see anywhere else. It's the gloves. It's everything.
Yeah.
Everybody holds
and,
the gloves.
And
up.
It is that room. It's more impactful than when they take the recruits to the stadium and they flash their name and their picture up in the stadium on the big scoreboard.
They'd rather have their picture
they
on Twitter
want the gear.
With the gloves on.
100%.
Right.
Why has it gotten to that? It is the biggest thing.
When you were being recruited, you got one pair of shoes, and
I never thought about the gear. It was what it was. I will tell you this. When I was in the NFL, 75th year anniversary of the NFL, okay? And we had the throwback jerseys, and it has the patch on it, 75 years.
Yeah, sure.
And when I first saw it, I go, this is ugly.
And
I
you're mean, part of ugly, how old ugly, were they? How ugly. Old are the Detroit Lions?
They're like a founding member.
One of the original, like that NFC North.
They go back to the very beginning, right?
That NFC North is chock full of a bunch of teams that started the whole thing.
Plain silver helmet, ugly blue jersey.
I thought those were dope. I like those blue jerseys.
Well, I have
just the gray pants. And
I have
just the
all.
Same thing.
I have all of my jerseys framed from when I played.
Yeah.
So I have my Lions jersey.
Yeah.
But guess what? I have two Lions jerseys because I framed a 75-year anniversary.
Well, look.
Because it was so unique and it was so special.
And now in 2019, if you were playing now, you'd have had 12 different Lions jerseys.
Yeah.
And it's because it's what the fan – it's what fans demand now. They want to see their team in a bunch of different setups, a bunch of different helmets. I mean, the NFL doesn't do nearly the amount of crazy helmet changes that college does.
Not the helmets, no. You saw how Antonio Brown was about his helmet.
About the helmet. He's not alone. It's very sacred.
I'm just telling you, he's not alone. Don't mess with
you
the helmet.
You talked about that with the superstition thing because you hated changing. You would have hated changing. Like if you
this
lose,
would have drove me
if
bananas.
You lose in the whiteout, oh, you're like, I'm never
I'm
wearing
never
that
again. Burn it. It's gone. I don't want it. It's out. It's over. See it? No way. Yeah, this would have been hard for me because of the routine of everything and having to go, I have to wear this week.
This is so much. There's so much money wrapped up in the gear.
It would send me in the loony bin. I'd just be like, forget this. I can't cope with this.
Look, and I'll be honest too. I'm just going to do true confession right now as we're doing this. There's a lot of Utah gear, and I'm not a Utah guy, obviously.
But you like it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And look, I'm one of those guys too that would be like, I'll wear that black polo with like the little Utah thing. I'm fine with that.
If you want to talk about gear, that's one thing. They just redid the equipment truck, and it is.
What do you mean the equipment truck?
The truck that takes all
the
gear.
Oh, the one that takes it, like the one that likes, the semi.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's cool.
The cab is the color of the helmets, and
right.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Bright, bright, bright red.
It is unbelievable what they've done.
All right, we're going to take the break here. When we come
back. Everything gear is geared out.
We've got our two-minute drill coming up around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Some things to discuss when it comes to the two-minute drill. I'll have it for you right here. How about people who are now jumping on board of Team USA because they don't want to see what happened at the FIBA World Cup happen at the Olympics next summer? But do you want those guys on your team now? Or were they already showing their non-patriotism for not participating this summer? Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It is the two-minute drill next. Stay with us.
Diamonds Direct.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Geary, Scott Mitchell. Wrapping things up on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. You can always hit us on the old text box, the text inbox, 57500. It's the UCCU and KSL text line. Maybe you have strong thoughts about the gear that BYU wears. There's some that I look at and I go, man, that's sharp. And this is a conversation I had with Tom Hackett today at our desk. He goes, look, we had some really cool stuff. He goes, it's already even crazier than when I was there. And I was there, 5 minutes ago, basically. But he even said, too, he goes, it didn't matter what we wore. A bunch of people hated it. there's always going to be a ton of people that go,
yeah,
I don't like
people,
the look of that.
People get they get tied into
the
a
old
look,
school. Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Well, look,
it's
the
like,
navy
like
blue.
A mesh jersey, man. There was nothing better than a mesh jersey. Come on.
You know what's funny is my kid found my I had like a practice jersey and like a my parents were like, hey, you gotta really take your stuff that we have at our house. You really have to get
right.
rid of it this time.
Every parent goes through that.
Right. Yeah. And I had, stuff from high school, all these things. And one of them was a practice jersey in there. And it is, it's that and especially the practice jerseys, that big thick mesh,
right.
Just like and my kid's looking at it and he's like, what's up with all these holes in it? You guys had like this ghetto stuff, and I'm like, I'm not that old, bro. So stop acting like just. I said, you know what the difference is? Now you have to pay $400 to play Pee Wee football, Little League football. That's why you guys get nice jerseys. I paid $40 to play, football when I was a kid. So anyway, bottom line is this. But the midriff is coming back. Scott, did you ever do the midriff? Were you that guy?
Yes.
Sure.
Loved it.
How about now? What if we had to go midriff now? I would not appreciate that. All the big guys.
No, I wouldn't appreciate it either.
Oh, my goodness.
Be good motivation, though.
Oh, yeah. Put you on national television. Yeah. There's old Scott Mitchell out there. He's going with the midriff this week. Craig, what do you think? Oh, boy. You know what? Maybe we should all start wearing midriff around the office just to motivate ourselves now.
Looks like he's got a lobster bib hanging over his.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Scott, it's a two-minute drill.
It is.
I'm going to play
every
our special NFL
time.
Music, and you're going to tell everybody what the two-minute drill is.
All right. It's not where you start in life. It's where you end. And so, of course, in life.
We've gotten that dramatic now?
Of course. Well, this is a dramatic music. We have to have a dramatic moment. And it's really important. In a game, you always have to finish it strong. So we have to march down the field sometimes, kick a field goal, or score a touchdown. And, of course, if we miss the field goal, we cut the kicker. In our show, we finish it strong, too. We have a lot to talk about. Not a lot of time to talk about it, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. And if Alex screws up, he gets cut.
I get cut. So far, so good. Dateline, Salt Lake City. It's good to have the guys back from Team USA. I'm glad Donovan Mitchell is now going to be focused 100% on playing basketball in the NBA and going for a world title, the actual real world title, and not this fake thing that Spain won. And their world MVP, Ricky Rubio.
It's just hard to fathom that one.
Now, but listen, hold on. Kudos to those guys. That's like the most backhanded compliment. It's not a real championship, but that's nice for
the
you
U.S.
guys.
They were seventh in the world. I mean, you're seventh best team in the world. You're not eighth.
Top 10, baby.
That's right.
So now that the World Cup is over and the U.S. embarrassed themselves with two losses in a row in the quarterfinal rounds, that put them in the seventh-place game where they beat Poland. Now players are coming out of the woodwork, Scott, to play for next year's Olympic squad. So far, people mentioning that they would absolutely be a part of Team USA in the Olympic run next year. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Damian Lillard are some of note that we could have probably used on Team USA this summer.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The players that are there right now, it's like everyone's like, you know, they were the ones that were loyal and they stuck through all this. And it's like, but they were also the ones that lost. And it's like, you're going to bring back that team that no, he's like,
well, see, that's
you better
thing.
Go
you
get better players.
You think Donovan is going to be labeled as that guy who couldn't get it done over there at the FIBA World Cup.
No, he was one of the bright stars
bright
on
spots.
The team. Yeah.
Well, bottom line is that I can't, when Jerry Colangelo spoke with Sports Illustrated and said, I can't reiterate enough. This is going to bother me until the 2020 Olympics. And those people who didn't play, I'm going to remember them.
What is he going to remember?
He's going to remember their text number so you can ask them if they'll
please
play again.
Would you please play?
Bradley Beal, DeMar DeRozan, James Harden, CJ McCollum, Anthony Davis. Hello. I think that we could use you on Team USA. I don't like you during the year, James Harden. I want you to fail during the season, DeMar DeRozan. I want us to come together, though. Team USA come next summer. So there you go. Next up on the old two-minute drill here, Scotty. This one's an interesting one. Dill's Food City.
Is that in Utah County, Dill?
It's not a Dill. It's not that kind of deal, no. In Athens, Georgia. Now, of course, this is a big matchup this week, and the Utes are watching this one closely because this is going to end up being a game that is of impact for the Utes, because you have two teams that are ahead of the Utes in the polls that are playing one another. The number 3 Georgia Bulldogs playing the number 7 Fighting Irish at home. And Georgia is favored to win this thing.
Which they should be.
But just to make sure, Dill's Food City, the grocery store in Athens, Georgia, where the University of Georgia is, they took off all the Irish Spring off of the shelves.
Which they should have done. I totally appreciate this.
That temporarily out of stock. Go Dogs.
See, that's how real football's done.
See,
you give any opponent that you're going to have, you know, you give them
this
nothing.
This is garbage.
In fact, you publicize that you've done this. It's not something you privately do. You let everybody in the world know, because you can do that now on social media. We're taking all the Irish Spring soap. And by the way, who buys Irish Spring soap anyways? They're still selling this stuff.
Unilever's like, that's a big loss for us.
I actually have Irish Spring soap. I kind of like it.
I can't do the bar soap anymore.
Why don't you use the bar soap?
Oh, okay.
Who does that?
I don't know.
The liquid gel soap.
My dad, I don't know. I think about the bar soap.
With a loofah. Do you have a loofah?
I don't use the loofah, Scott.
You don't? Oh, there's nothing better than a good loofah. little Irish Spring on that loofah. Boy, you'll be changed for life, Alex.
Grab that drop. I can't wait to hear that one. So that's what they did. To get at the Irish. I don't think that's a very strong showing by Dill's Food Market, but there you go.
I think that's awesome.
All the way across the country It's usually California that's been getting the publicity with this on this side of things, but now a New York senator has proposed a bill that would pay college athletes. At what point, Scott, are we not just doing this as a going through the motions thing and it actually feels more real? Because California's going deep. They're throwing the long ball here on this one. New York, you're doing this, but I don't know how much. What's it going to take for the NCAA to actually change their minds on this?
Someone will actually get this passed, and it'll start happening. And then there's going to be some lawsuit. They're going to say, "Where is this valid?" There'll be issues where players will go, "I want to play in this state. I want to play for this university because guess what? I get paid." And they're going to see in very quick order that they're going to have a uniform understanding about this across the board. They just have to. And it's right. It's rightfully so. You can't deny someone an opportunity to work.
Well, look, we talked about it earlier. You can finally, as that mega donor, Scott, you can make it possible at your level. It might be under the table, but
Tim Tebow just had this just rant. Like, I my university and going there and this whole amateur thing, and I'm like, your university paid a coach about $5 million.
Was he trying to say that amateurism needs to stay?
100%.
This guy.
Yeah, it's just like, and I was listening to his argument, and it was Stephen A. Smith and actually Max Kellerman, and they're all like, yeah, Tim, great job there. And
oh, that's my goodness.
It's like, no, buddy. Okay, if you really want this to be amateur, don't pay anyone. Don't pay the coach. Coach is someone at the
University.
At the university,
right? He's a professor. He's a professor of football.
He's a professor in Marianne. Professor of football, and he makes a couple hundred thousand dollars a year or whatever.
Right.
And no one gets paid.
PhD in football.
And let's see what happens then. Let's see how amateur all of this is. And the university doesn't make anything off it. And they sell tickets to games $10 a piece.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Let's see
what this really is.
Taking the long break here. We'll be back tomorrow. Scott will be on a plane to Southern California to call the Utes and the Trojans.
I'll already be there.
You'll already be there. Can I call you then tomorrow?
Yeah, give me a call.
You know what?
I won't answer.
Oh, I'm calling you. I'm going to keep calling.
See if I answer.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to mirror, I don't know, our boss's phone or something. You'll have to pick it up. All right. Taking the break here. When we come back, it'll be Thursday. Mitch Harper going to join me tomorrow and host with me. You don't want to miss it. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.